Well, good evening and welcome. It's Friday. Weekend is here. Long weekend, as a matter of fact. And good to have you along. It is the Disability Law Show. We're back for another 30 minutes and always trying to make you smarter when it comes to the world of disability law, working with that insurance company. There's a million things can happen and sometimes you're left holding the bag. No answers. That's why we do this every week. Savannah Tamarkin is here, Sanfiru Tamarkin, LLP. Reach out to Savannah anytime. This is generally the type of thing where you're going to want to make a phone call on your own, discuss your matter. It could be for you, could be a colleague, could be a family member who's either not capable of doing it or just not in the right mind to make phone calls and have discussions. That's why it's so easy for you to do it toll-free. And it's always 1-855-821-5900, help@disabilityrights.ca. And for any other matters, you can simply go to the website called disabilityrights.ca as well. And I'll give you some more contact information throughout the show and other tools that that you can use. A lot of stuff on the way over the next half hour, Savannah. We've got emails piling up. I want to get into those. But we always start off with a case of the day or a week that was, pal. What's going on in your end?
Hey, John, good to be here with you. Let me tell you about an interesting call that I got this week. Actually, it was an email followed by a call. It was from a 38-year-old gentleman, and it was about his mother. His mother is 61 years old. And the reason he called me is because his mother was going to a mall. It was somewhere in the GTA. And this was a couple of months ago. The weather wasn't the greatest. Of course, we know we've had tremendous fluctuations with the weather. And you know, that's perfect for dangerous conditions like black ice. And that's what happened here. She parked her car outside the mall. She was about to enter the mall or go to the mall. So she was walking over the parking lot. And then she slips and falls on ice. And it was a pretty bad fall. She broke her right ankle and her right arm.
Jeez.
The top part of her arm, the humerus, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's a top bone by the shoulder, between the shoulder and the elbow. So it's a fairly bad break. So it's kind of interesting because you typically don't see those kinds of injuries, or I don't see those kinds of injuries, not being an orthopedic surgeon that I am, but I've dealt with them, and they can be significant, okay? Now, she's a bank teller. She's been working the same job for many, many years. She's earning around $50,000 a year or so. And you know, when she went to the hospital, the doctors that looked at her did x-rays. They found that she had a cyst in her humerus. It's a benign cyst, okay? So it's not cancer or anything, but it's a cyst that, because of that cyst, she had broken her humerus bone. So, you know, in legal speak, we call it a thin skull. I'm not going to get into why it's called that, but essentially what happened was that because of that cyst, the bone was weak. And when it hit the ground, the way she fell, the correct way or the exact way, there was enough pressure that caused the break in her bone. And it's going to take her a while to heal as a result of this. And of course, you add to that the right ankle injury. I've dealt with many of those. We've talked about right ankle fractures, you and I, John. These are significant injuries for somebody who is in their early 60s. So she's immobilized. She can't work at this point. Her son is taking care of her. He's staying with her. And by the way, right after the incident, she called him, of course. He came fairly quickly. He called the ambulance, made sure there's a report, but he also took photos and a video of the area of the fall. And you can see, I looked at the photos and video, you can see that there's ice everywhere. Some of it is black ice, so it's difficult to see, but some of it, you can just see sheets of ice. And I'm not seeing any sand anywhere, any salt anywhere. So, you know, clearly there was a breakdown here in terms of the maintenance by the mall or whoever the mall employs. Okay, now, the reason he called me, actually, which is interesting, is because she was contacted by the insurance adjuster for the insurance company of the mall. That adjuster wanted to come to her place and take a statement. And of course, the son, who's been listening to us for many years, knew what to do and what to say. And he said, no, my mother is not giving you a statement. And that's when he talked to his mom and he got permission to call me and tell me all about this. And so I've spoken to both of them at this point. And I got this information. I looked at the photographs. I basically looked at everything and explained to them what her rights are, but also what his rights are, because he's a family member and he's impacted by this as well.
Yep.
So let's break this down for our listeners, John, because there's a lot of things to dissect here. Number one, whenever we're dealing with an injury, with an accident like a slip and fall, or a car accident for that matter, the first question we ask is with regards to liability. Who's at fault here? And you and I have talked about this many times. So whenever you're dealing with slip and falls, in any kind of accident, really, you want to have, if you can, pictures and videos of the area where the accident happened. If it's a car accident, pictures and videos of the cars involved, of any testimonies, any witnesses. Again, very difficult sometimes to do, right? I mean, you're injured. You're not going to be in the frame of mind to do this. So hopefully somebody who's with you or witnesses or family members can come fairly quickly after and just document the area. Because I can assure you that if this son here did not have the foresight to take those photos and videos. And by the way, he said that he did that because he listens to us, John. So again, I'm really glad that we're giving people this advice. But if he didn't do that, I can tell you that it's very likely that down the road when there would have been, when there's going to be a legal claim for compensation, because there's going to be a lot of compensation owed to her, I can tell you that I've seen cases where we don't have photos and videos and the people responsible for the area or for the maintenance argue that they did everything they were supposed to. Look, we have documents, we have diaries, we have records, you know, we came in an hour before, we did so and so. Well, it's very difficult to argue that or to make up that stuff. I've seen that stuff made up as well. Okay. I've seen people lie about this, right? Because they want to keep their jobs or contracts, whatever. It's very difficult to do that when you have photos and videos that were taken almost contemporaneous, almost at the same time as the fall itself. Now, if you came a day later or 2 days later or a week later, it has less force. But if you took photos and videos right after the accident or someone else did, within an hour, 2 hours, the same day, it's a lot more, gives you a lot more credibility. Okay, so in this case here, I can tell you from what I've seen, she's going to have a case. They're going to have a tough time explaining why it is that this area was not properly maintained. When it's a mall, it's expected that you're going to have a lot of patrons there, a lot of people, for sure. Older people, younger people. Clearly, and I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, if she wasn't the only person who fell that day and got injured. So liability, which is the first part of this analysis, I think we're going to be able to deal with. The only question on my in my mind with respect to that is not actually are they going to be at fault, but how many of these, how many parties are going to be at fault? Is it going to be just the mall, just their insurance company on the hook, or is it going to be also a winter maintenance contractor that they use? Sometimes winter maintenance contractors hire their own contractors, they subcontract. So we have another insurance policy. So you have to make sure that there is due diligence done. Otherwise, you're not going to have all the parties involved. And if you don't have all the parties involved, all the insurance companies at the table, two things are probably going to happen. Number one, you're going to delay your matter because this is going to come up down the road and you're going to have to reset the process. So this legal claim, which otherwise would have taken a year or 2 years or however long, is going to take now double the amount of time, perhaps, maybe triple, because you have to now bring other entities into the equation. And number two, you may miss this altogether. If you don't get the right lawyer, the right law firm to do their due diligence correctly, you may be in a situation where you initiate that legal claim, go almost till the end, only to find out that you're out of time to start the claim against the party that's actually at fault. So again, not gonna, I don't want to confuse people, John, but the point is you have to make sure you do your due diligence. And it's not on you as an injured individual. It's on me. Lawyers like me, that's why you have to select the right lawyer, the right law firm to help you. Let's fast forward. Go ahead.
I was just going to interrupt and say, you know, when it comes to photographic evidence, I mean, this person's mom, sometimes quite often, I guess it's a slip and fall. You're dealing with people who are elderly. Maybe they're not too savvy. Maybe they don't have cell phones. They don't know how to take pictures. Just stop someone. Say, hey, do me a favor. I just slipped and fall. Could you send this to my son's email? Just take a quick couple
Fantastic
pictures for
advice.
Me. Most people will do that,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. 100%. Not to mention that you're going to have people rushing probably, you know, towards the person
to help you.
Fell.
Sure.
You're 100%. Yeah. It's just that, again, you're in the moment. You're focused on your injuries. I understand if this is not the first thing you're thinking about. You just, you know, you're injured. I mean, if you've lost consciousness. So you're right. All I'm saying is to the extent that it's possible to get someone to do photos and videos as soon as possible, it's good. It's a good thing for the legal claim down the road. But obviously, the medical emergency comes first. Okay, let's just fast forward here because I want to make sure we capture all of this.
Yeah.
The injuries, a broken ankle and a broken humerus, broken arm. This lady is in her early 60s. She's earning around 50 grand a year. She's obviously going to be off work for a certain period of time. I don't know how long. Is it going to be for 6 months, for 3 months, for a year, for 2 years? I have no idea. It depends on how she is able to get back. It depends on accommodations at work. It depends on a whole lots of things. But let's just provide people here with some context. Let's say that she was out of work because of her injuries for a year. And let's say she's making $50,000 a year. Do the math. It's very simple. She's not making that $50,000 now. So she's able to claim that $50,000 against whoever's at fault. Again, the analysis is not that simple, because what if she's entitled to short-term disability or long-term disability? What if she goes on EI sick leave? What if, you know, her employer has some other benefits? I you know, we have to factor that in. But the point is, she's going to have an income loss here. But it's not just the income loss for the time that she's unable to work. What if she's not able to go back to full-time work after the one-year mark? Is she going to have a deficit of $10,000 for the next 3 years? Is she going to be less competitive now in the marketplace because now she can't work as many hours or overtime hours? All these things have to be worked into the equation. What about the injuries that she suffered, the pain and suffering that she suffered? I can tell you, an injury like this, I'd probably say in my mind, I'm going to go for over $100,000. I'm going to be demanding that for her pain and suffering. What about her son who's helping her? Who's going to compensate him for all the time he's now spending with her? I mean, he's her son. We expect that, obviously, of kids to help their parents. But it doesn't mean he doesn't get compensated. In fact, our laws in Ontario allow for that. They allow for family members to be compensated for the services they provide to an injured family member under the Family Law Act. So, John, we can do a whole show on this, but I can tell you, this is the kind of case where I will tell you, I can easily get her over $100,000 here, maybe even $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000, again, depending on the circumstances and how she heals. Wow. You have to be very careful with the lawyer or law firm you choose, because 20 years ago, when I worked for insurance companies and I defended them and I did a case just like this or very similar to this for the insurance company, I had settled it for the insurance company for $25,000.
Oh, my gosh.
In other words, my client, the insurance. Yeah. Why? Because the lawyer representing the injured person didn't do their job. They didn't understand how to litigate these kinds of claims. So you want to make sure you get the right lawyer. And this is what we're here for. Myself, my team. We help people who are injured each and every day across Ontario.
Lots more to go here. Got to slide into a quick break, the only one, and then we'll get back to more. You want to reach out now to Savannah and his team. You can do so a couple different ways. Phone call, obviously, is first, toll-free, just for a chat, no problem, 1-855-821-5900. Email is help@disabilityrights.ca, and you want to ask more questions on your own time, of course, anonymously. This website's free. It's called mydisabilityquestions.com. That's a beauty, because the way the algorithm is built, it's searchable, so maybe a similar question to yours has already been put in there and answered. Save you some time. If not, leave it there. And Savannah's team will get to it at mydisabilityquestions.com. We're going to talk about Pocket Disability Lawyer on the other side of the short break, and then get into your email right here on the Disability Law Show. Stand by. Thanks for hanging in through that break. Disability Law Show continues here to get you into your weekend. Savannah Tamarkin always here during the half hour and beyond. He's got a great team working for him as well. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone to discuss your matter. If it's going to take some time or something you don't necessarily want to type into an email, you can do that. 1-855-821-5900, always toll free. Or the email is an option, help@disabilityrights.ca. But something, it's only a few months old now. I don't think it's been a year yet. You put together pocketdisabilitylawyer.ca. Savannah, I was talking about this the other day on the TV show with James Farman, and it's a great assessment tool. Give me some details on it.
Absolutely, John. It's an online website. Online, of course, it's online and it's a website. But the key thing here, it's free, it's anonymous, and it's accurate. These are the three things you need to remember. Pocketdisabilitylawyer.ca. People like to get their information online, John. It's something that's been happening more and more, obviously, as time progresses. And, you know, we have younger people who are more inclined to Google their questions. And so when they're dealing with short-term or long-term disability claims for themselves, for their loved ones, colleagues, or friends, sometimes they don't want to call a lawyer. They don't want to email a lawyer. They're afraid it's going to cost money, even though we don't charge anything for any of this advice. And we tell people, call us at any point, at any time, and we'll help you. We'll talk you through your claim and answer your questions. No obligations, nothing. This website here, if you don't want to call us, don't Google your questions. You're probably going to get a bad website, something from the U.S. that's not applicable. Go to this website, pocketdisabilitylawyer.ca. You enter a few key pieces of information about your case with no identifying data, okay? Not your name, not your phone number, nothing, but just about your situation. You have a question. Let's say the insurance company cuts you off disability. Let's say they're telling you to go see one of their doctors. Let's say that they're telling you that they're denying your claim because there's insufficient medical documents. You want to know if it's a legitimate denial. You want to know if the insurance company is correct or if you have any legal options. If you go to that website, and you go through those drop-down menus, it'll take you about 20, 30 seconds. You will get an accurate assessment of your situation. It's going to tell you what you can and cannot do, if you have any options, if we can help you, or if anyone can help you for that matter. If you at that point want to contact us, you can click the button and then they'll put you in touch with us. Otherwise, shut down your browser. But John, this nifty little website that we've created that's free, anonymous, and accurate, it's been used thousands of times across Ontario. I highly recommend to anyone, even if you don't need it, just to check it out because you may know someone who may need it. Let them know about it. It's, again, it's free. Again, if you want to contact us, we'll be more than happy to chat with you, myself, any member of my team, for free about your disability claim.
Good stuff. Again, pocketdisabilitylawyer.ca is where you'll find that. Email is promised. Who's first up? Brenda writes in, says, guys, currently on LTD, and I was wondering, once I'm ready for a gradual return to work, do I have to return to the same organization, position? Also, if I do a gradual return to work and my current employer fires me once I'm back, then what do I do?
Excellent questions, Brenda. So number one, do you have to go back to the same organization position? No, you don't. And in fact, from the standpoint of long-term disability, you know, the LTD insurer wants you obviously to go back to work. Why? Because they want to stop paying you, right? They're not interested in continuing to pay you. If you're able to try and go back to work, my advice is do it correctly. What do I mean by that? I mean, make sure you're in touch with your treating doctors, particularly your primary care physician, your family doctor, if you have a specialist, with your specialist. Make sure that they are on board. And make sure it's documented that this is a trial, right? That, you know, unless they're completely sure that you can go back to work, no one should be saying you are ready to go back to work. I think the more correct way to say it is you're ready to try to go back to work, a gradual return to work trial. You don't have to go to the same organization or position. In fact, sometimes, John, people contact us and tell us that their company has gone bankrupt or has been sold or their position is not available. It doesn't matter. If you're ready to try to go back to work, you can certainly go to a different organization and, frankly, a different position if you want. Now, what happens? What happens if you're not able to go back to work, meaning that you've tried to go back to work, but you're not able to, you find that it's premature, you should be able to go back on LTD. There is what's called a recurrence clause under most LTD policies that allow you within, again, it depends on the policy, but usually within about 6 months of trying to go back to work. If you can't, you should be able to go back on LTD. If you get denied at that point, well, this is where we come in and we can help you, because there's no reason why, if you're not able to go back to work after you've tried and your doctor says, no, you're still not ready, no reason why you shouldn't be getting or continue to get LTD. Now, the second part of the question here is, if I do a gradual return to work and my current employer fires me, what do I do? Excellent question. And it's excellent because this now ventures into the realm of employment law.
That's right.
And of course, we do both long-term disability and employment law at our firm. Okay. Employment law, disability, and injury law. Those are the areas of focus. We don't do real estate or family law or immigration law or criminal law. Okay. We do employment law. We do injury law and disability law. So if your employer fires you, you need to reach out to us because it could potentially impact your long-term disability claim. How? Well, if your employer fires you, leaving aside the fact that you need one of our employment lawyers to talk to you because you're entitled to potentially severance and then maybe even human rights damages, because, you know, in Ontario, to fire a disabled person or someone on disability, that's a human rights violation. So you may be entitled to human rights damages. If you get severance and you're, for example, unable to go back to work and you need to go back on LTD, your insurer is going to probably want a credit for your severance.
Yep.
So, you know, this could become quite complicated, which is why I always tell people, you know, if you're dealing with a disability issue or an employment issue or a combination of them, you want to reach out to us because our disability lawyers are going to talk with our employment lawyers, right? The right hand knows what the left hand is doing and vice versa. They often act together. In fact, we have some lawyers at the firm who actually have a double focus, a double specialty in terms of what they focus on their practice. They're employment lawyers and disability lawyers, so they understand the impact of both areas of law. And you need to do that because I can tell you, John, more often than not, I see people who are having issues with their long-term disability insurance company. At the same time, they're having difficulties with their employer, so they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Well, we are the ones who are going to help you get unstuck and push against both of those giants. Because that's what happens, right? People feel like they're squeezed, and it's a David and Goliath situation. We're going to help you defeat that Goliath, but you have to reach out to us so we can advise you.
You know, I think a lot of the confusion with this, Savant, is when people, you know, they're worried about going back to work or if the employer goes bankrupt or they get fired. I don't think a lot of them realize that once you're in the long-term disability stream, it's not the employer administering that, even though it came as part of your benefit package. They figure, oh, if I get fired or if they shut down, I'm going to lose my LTD. You're not in that pool anymore, right?
That's an excellent point. And you see that all the time, right? People who are contacting me, I think I probably get about 3 to 5, I don't know, emails or calls every week or so by people across the country, by the way, because we do long-term disability cases across Canada, who are telling me, look, I'm on LTD. I've been on disability for about 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. My company has been sold to another company. I'm losing my position, or they've gone bankrupt, or, you know, the Canadian division has now closed down. What happens with my LTD? And this is where you're right, John, because once you're on LTD, once you're on disability, long-term disability, it's not really relevant what happens with your employer for the purposes of you staying on LTD, right? You will continue or should be continuing to get long-term disability benefits so long as you remain disabled, so long as you are complying with the terms of the policy, you try to get better, you follow treatment recommendations by your doctors, etc. It should not impact you. But again, you have questions about this, this is where you call us or you go to pocketdisabilitylawyer.ca because you'll get those answers. John, we have people who've been contacting us for years every so often because they have questions. And by the way, sometimes they hit us, you know, we've called you on, you know, 10 times already and we've spoken to you. And I get people telling me this and they're like, you know, we're very cognizant that we're taking your time with these questions and they want to pay me for that. And I tell them, no, you don't have to pay me a thing. If at some point you need to hire us, if at some point we need to become your lawyers because your disability insurance company has cut you off or is harassing you or for whatever reason you need us on the ground dealing with your insurer, at that point we can talk about payment. And even then, by the way, we only get paid if we can make the insurance company pay you. We don't get paid up front. Yeah. So again, don't be afraid to call us, to contact us. Again, whether it's me, another lawyer on my team, this is what we do. We help people all the time.
We still got a few minutes to go here. Let's try to get through some of Richard's email or the answer. Anyway, he says, hi, guys. Thank you for answering my email. I was walking the parking lot at Vaughan Mills Mall, and a car didn't see me, hit me. I didn't break any bones, but I hit my head on the curb. I lost consciousness, and the ambulance and police came on scene. But I didn't go to the hospital. I went back to work. I'm a painter. But after my fourth day back, I started noticing I had some issues going on. My hands started to feel numb, and I would easily drop things because I couldn't grip anything. I also noticed that I would get dizzy a lot. I went to hospital yesterday, and they're sending me for a bunch of tests. I don't have car insurance as I take public transit. Do I still have an option to put in any sort of claim? Well,
excellent question, and it's a very, very unfortunate situation, Richard. I'm very sorry that you went through this. So let me break it down for you in the last remaining minutes that we have here on the show. Number one, yes, you are entitled to what's called accident benefits. Usually it's through your own insurance company, but if you're uninsured, you're a pedestrian, the insurance company of the vehicle that hits you is going to have to pay you that. And they're going to have to pay for medical rehabilitation benefits. They're going to have to pay you if you can't work. It's called income replacement benefits, typically up to $400 a week, depending on the kind of policy you have. They're going to have to pay for a bunch of stuff. Now, as a pedestrian that was hit by a vehicle, you're also probably entitled here to start a legal claim for your injuries against the car that struck you. And in a pedestrian versus vehicle scenario, John, we talked about this before, the onus is reversed. So typically, if you're in a car and you're injured by somebody who is in another car, and let's say they rear-ended you, you have to prove that they're negligent, that their negligence right. caused your injuries. But if you're a pedestrian, you don't have to prove that. The onus is reversed. They have to prove that they were not negligent. So you know, in this case, Richard, you're going to be entitled to significant compensation. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to go through everything, but I can tell you from the injuries you've described and the impact on your work, your claim is going to be in the six figures here at least. So let's touch base after the show, and I'll go through everything with you, make sure you understand everything, all your options, and make sure you get the compensation that you deserve.
Richard, good start with that email, pal. Now you're going to follow that up with a phone call. Absolutely. And thanks for tuning in and sending that along. And thank you for listening this evening as well. You want to reach out now to Savannah and his team now that we're wrapping for another Friday. You can do so. It's toll free. Of course, 1-855-821-5900. Email help at disabilityrights.ca. And remember that website we talked about, super useful, free, of course, anonymous, called pocketdisabilitylawyer.ca. Take that out for a spin as well. And we'll catch you next time right here on the Disability Law Show.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.